everybody, and welcome back. It is Friday, April 23rd, 2021, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and I am delighted to be with you this morning. I hope that everybody is doing well. Let me ask you something. How often do you think about heaven? Really and truly, life has a way of taking off, doesn't it? Things get busy. Stuff happens. We push. We put our head down. Here it's been Easter just a couple of weeks ago. I'm having a midlife crisis, though, not because I turned 40 last week, but because my daughter turns 13. I've told her she's turning 11 this year. The clock is going backwards. But she turns 13 on May the 1st. Time moves. And we face difficulties. Sometimes they're of the physical variety. We face health issues. We age. We face limitations because of these things. But it's the other difficulties sometimes that give us so much trouble. Interacting with people. Facing disappointment. All sorts of things like that. Y'all, when those things happen and when difficulty comes, sometimes you just have to put your head down and you have to keep pushing and you keep going. But then you look up and you say, well, where are we now? How did we get to this point? As I have often asked from the pulpit when preaching, you ever wake up in the morning and say, oh, I didn't see this happening? Or have you ever had a day where you start the day and everything seems like it's just going to be business as usual, and things start happening, you start hearing news, and then that night when you lay down, if you have the time to think without being exhausted, you lay down and think, I didn't see today going this way. I thought it would be something else. And maybe you've done that on a much larger scale too, as we are wanting to do when we stop from the busyness and focus on life for just a little bit. But nevertheless, no matter how you find yourself, no matter how you find yourself processing these things and what you find yourself doing, I would contend that focusing on the future glory of the kingdom of God is a wonderful practice to take hold of. And I don't know when the last time was that you've done this, but I would encourage you to do so today, right now. This is an important thing, y'all. There's a reason why I'm not going through the review of what we've been covering. If you want to know where we've been before, go back and watch the last devotionals. Where we come to today is Romans 8:18. And Paul says this. He writes, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Just think about that for a second. And let's start with how that may relate to you and the present sufferings we have. You know, the present sufferings that we have are very different from the present sufferings of times past in some ways. In other ways, problems are just problems and things don't change in that regard. But in terms of what you face, if you are hearing this or if you're watching this, and the only person that's in here with me right now is Boo. So if this reaches you, that probably means that you have electricity. I heard an interesting statistic that half of the world would die over the next, I think it was the next 6 months, if the electrical grid went down. And that's probably true. But you probably have electricity. You may have a roof over your head. You may have clean running water. So that means the present sufferings that you face are probably of a vastly different variety of folks in the past when they have read this. But modern conveniences aside, think about Paul here who wrote this. You know, remember the context of this is that he is on a missionary journey, wants to go to Spain, never ends up there. Why? Because he ends up dead instead. sometime go through and read about the trials that Paul faced, about being shipwrecked and beaten with rods, all this different stuff. And the point of this is not to get into what happened to Paul or anything like that. The point is that when Paul looks at life as a whole, the subject of life in general, he concludes that the difficulties that we are facing right now are not even worth comparing to. They don't even come into the equation when you consider the future glory that is coming. Now, just what future glory is that? He says in verse 19, the creation, in other words, all things, the creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. Who are the sons of God? Why? They are those of us who belong to Christ, who receive the promised resurrection of the body. And it says in verse 20, it says that the creation waits in eager expectation. Verse 20, for the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. Now, again, what is he talking about here? Well, he's going to talk about it more. All right. Verse 22, we know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves have the first fruits of the Spirit, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. We'll stop right there for a second. What in the world is Paul talking about here? We wait eagerly for our redemption, the sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. What he's saying here is that there is one central hope of Christianity. That there is one central hope for why we do what we do, why we press on, why we don't lose heart. We face difficulty, yes. Things happen that are just downright heartbreaking and disappointing. But we press on. Why? For one central hope. Verse 24, for in this hope we were saved. And what is that one central hope? To put it short, the one central hope is that this life is not all there is. That the world, as beautiful as it is, as we've just read, it's groaning as if it's in childbirth. And what does that mean? It's this groaning. It's this anticipatory pain of something better that is coming, of relief that is coming. Even the world, the creation groans, waiting, looking forward, hoping. I don't remember what preacher it was, but I heard one preacher, I read one preacher's sermon, and he talked about how the moon despises itself for lighting the pathway for robbers and burglars. Talking about creation groaning, having this desire for what? This desire, the central hope that we have, what is it? Again, it's the hope that this life is not it. That these bodies that we have, these bodies that grow old, these bodies that have health issues, that these are not all we have. The hope for those of you who have lost loved ones, and that's probably everybody. The hope for you who knows that if Jesus doesn't come back, you too will die. That the grave is not the final resting place. And this earthly shell that we have is not our final body. Instead, the resurrection of the body is what we look forward to. The time when the old earth, as beautiful as it is, when this old earth passes away and a new earth has come. Y'all, this is talking about the glory of God in its full consummation, the glory of God in all of its glory, and that is when Jesus makes all things new. That's our hope. That's what we look forward to. That's why, as Paul has written, the creation around us is groaning in decay. And we look forward to being brought in to the glorious freedom of the children of God, according to verse 26. You know, I love the book of Revelation because of this. I really do. The book of Revelation points to this newness. Revelation 21, John says, almost at the very end, John says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.'" And then, oh, with such beauty, he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son." Then he goes on to talk about those who will not inherit. But y'all, it's this that Paul is pointing to here in Romans 8. It is this new heaven when all things are new, when everything is made right. It's in light of this that Paul says, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that we will be, that will be revealed in us." But then dropping down to verse 24, he says, "For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not have, we wait for it patiently." And it's that last verse that I want to hone in on. And I know we're moving fast today. This is a short one, but intentionally so, because I don't need to explain all this stuff to you. The point of today is to get you thinking and hopefully encourage you to focus on the glory of God that is coming. It is sure. No matter what you're facing, it is sure. Yet it's this verse 25 that we ought to hone in on. "But if we hope for what we do not have, we wait for it patiently." Y'all, there's nothing wrong with the eager anticipation that Paul writes about here. There's nothing wrong with focusing on heaven. But part of waiting for God's glory patiently means continuing on in what we're doing right now. It means not being so heavenly minded that your feet never touch the earth. It means being faithful. It means carrying on no matter what you're facing. It means having your eyes focused on heaven, but working right now on earth because you know this promise is sure. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know where life has taken you. I don't know the things that you're dealing with. But I know that God's word is true. I don't know what you're planning on focusing on today. Maybe you're just planning on living another day and getting to Friday night. But let me encourage you to focus on the coming glory of God. Then, The things of the earth will grow strangely dim. Priorities change. Issues that seem like they're ruining the whole world, and might be very difficult, don't get me wrong, but those seem to subside, and they do, because ultimately, whatever you're struggling with, there's going to be victory. Whatever hurts, it's going to be alleviated, but only if you are trusting in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. So as we go into today, as we go into the weekend, keep the glory that is promised to you, to all those in Christ, keep that glory in mind. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you so much for your word, that Paul gives us this interlude here. And he talks about the nature of the world around us, how nature even groans because of the wickedness, because of the difficulty of the world. Yet all of this is temporary. This life is not all there is. And we're so grateful, Father. Help us to do, as Paul has just indicated, to wait patiently, but also to look forward with eager anticipation to your coming glory. For in your glory, we will be glorified. And I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I'd like to thank you all for being a part of this time. Lord willing, we'll be back Monday morning at 7 a.m. I see that folks have commented. I can't see any of them, though. I don't know what's going on with Facebook. Maybe that's a good thing. But nevertheless, Lord willing, also, I'll be here Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for our Sunday worship service. But maybe I'll see you Sunday morning at 9. If not, hopefully I see you Monday morning at 7 or whenever you happen across this. You're welcome as well. Until then, I hope you all have an excellent weekend.